Today we're talking with One Life Truck It. It's Bobby and Marie, and they have been on the road for, gosh, it's not been a year yet, but they've been on the road for several months now, and they've covered some amazing ground.
And just talking with them, you're going to love this conversation because I think they're people, actually, I know they're people after our own hearts. They just kind of...
Spontaneous.
They're spontaneous. They wing it, but they are doing this amazing journey by truck. From, and truck is a generous term. This thing is a behemoth.
But it's a military vehicle.
It's a military vehicle. They are traveling from the UK to Australia. So they are doing everything by car, and they're just kind of figuring out everything on the way.
And they have two dogs with them. So they're doing a route that we would love to do one day. They're going through some places like Asia and the Middle East, and they're doing all of it. They're currently about to cross into the country of Georgia. So when you hear this episode, that's where they're at. But they've covered Europe so far, and they've got so many new places on the horizon. We don't want to ruin that. We're just going to let you guys hear the conversation for yourself because these guys are a lot of fun. They have a great sense of humor and a spirit for adventure. Adventure. Is it of adventure or for adventure? Adventure.
Of adventure. Maybe okay. Both. Oh. And hey, if you're new here, we're Chris and Sarah. This is What No One Tells You. We sit down with other travelers, including ourselves. If you don't know anything about us, we are actually on a similar journey, but we're going south.
Down
the Pan American. And so we're currently in our truck camper sitting in Baja, Mexico, Baja, California, Mexico, on the beach. And it's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. But before we get to the conversation, we do want to say, if you have time, please drop us a review or a rating, Sarah, or both on Spotify or iTunes. This really helps creators like us, helps other people discover our podcast. And yeah, it's just one of the easiest ways y'all can say thank you.
We actually got a new 5-star review.
Did we?
Yesterday, yeah.
Oh.
And they were just so excited about our Baja like RVing series, you know, going
cool.
through. They really liked that episode.
Okay.
So it helps us help you. And it also helps us. Yeah.
We love doing this. So if they can help us keep going, then we appreciate it. So, all right, without further ado, this is the conversation with Bobby and Marie from One Life Truck.
Yeah, well, we'll just jump into it because we're excited about this. Bobby and Marie, thanks for being here. You're on literally the other side of the world where we're at. We're in Mexico right now, and we have no earthly idea where you're at, but we know it's 7 p.m. So can you tell us where you're at, who you are, all of that good stuff?
Well, we can tell you who we are, but we probably can't tell you exactly where we are. The reason being is we're on the west coast of Turkey, and two days ago, we met someone who recommended an island off the west coast of Turkey that was paradise and was his island. So we've driven sort of over here. We've got this ferry. We've turned up to this island we don't actually know the name of. But it is pretty close to paradise, so yeah, it's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool story. Yeah, but my name is Bobby Bolton from England.
I'm Marie de Nevelle from France.
And we're driving from the UK to Australia.
That's amazing. Yeah. So let's just. All right, we're driving. We're not doing a similar journey, but it's the same mindset of a journey. We're going from the US to Argentina currently right now. What made you decide to go from Europe from the UK to Australia?
Good question. So it started off as a solo story, really, because I was with a girl for 11 years. So I got with her when I was 19, and we spent 11 great years together. And then it all came caving in pretty quickly. I realized I'd moved to the far side of the country for her. I'd started a business down there. We had a house together. And when that came caving in, the rest of my life, I sort of looked at and, you know, took a second glance at, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And eventually, after a year after the breakup, I sort of decided that I just needed to wipe the slate clean. And that didn't include just going and getting another job or moving back where I'm from. It was like, right, I need to work out where I want to work, what I want to do, and what I want to be with. And the best way I could work out to do that was to just go on the biggest road trip I could do. And I was actually stood après-ski drinking with my sister and a couple of mates in France over a Christmas break, and I had a beer in hand. And I can remember just like out of the blue going, yeah, I'm going to drive to Mongolia. And everyone's like, oh, shut up, you're drunk. I was like, well, maybe, yeah. And then like a couple of pints later, I was like, Australia, that's further, fine. And I was like, they're like, you can't even do that. And I can remember pulling my phone out of my pocket and looking at it. And I had to like zoom out and was like, yeah, there's a line there, Australia. And that was it. So,
oh my gosh.
I was born. I didn't even know it was possible at all. And I sort of just got the bit between my teeth and was like, right, this is it, we're going for it. So, and here we are in a random island in Turkey. So, with Marie, who I met.
Very nice. That's amazing. So, when was that moment skiing where you're like, I'm going to drive to Australia? How far back was that? Because I want to talk about your rig, because I know you built it out. So, when did this start? How far into the process are you now?
So that was last Christmas. I sort of decided just before last Christmas, October, November, December, I sort of decided right, I needed a change and I was sort of mulling it over. And then sort of Christmas, I was like, right, I need to sort this out. And then it was only in May this year that I was able to afford it, like followed by in the truck. So in May I bought it. I started the conversion slightly after and hit the road for the first time in August for like a bit of a warm-up trip, and then set my sights on Australia in September. So I converted the truck in about 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
But
yeah, I've met loads of Germans love these trucks and convert them, and I've met a few people and they've been spending like 2, 3, 4 years building this. But for me, I was trying to explain to somebody yesterday, it's just a tool. It's like, it allows the adventure. It's not about the truck. It's about the adventures it gives. So it doesn't have to be perfect. Let's just get it looking good, get it capable, like a proper machine, and then let's go. So there you go.
I love that mindset.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. You're a man after our own heart, because we've had that same conversation with multiple people of like, they'll spend years like trying to craft the perfect rig and
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And
we started following you around, I think it was probably May or June. I thought you had been at it for a long time, like building the process or building the truck and everything. But I guess we came along pretty early in the process. So I'm very impressed at how fast you got that done. I had no idea it was that quick.
Yeah, that was literally right at the start. Yeah. The Instagram exploded at the start as I sort of announced I was going to Australia. Wow. But I hadn't even built the truck yet. Hadn't decided on a route, sort of no visas.
No pressure.
I just threw it down and that was it.
Wait, so you have all these people following you and you didn't have the truck? You're just like, hey, I'm doing this?
I think I just got the truck, but, and then I came up with the idea and I was like, right, I'm going to Australia. And then everyone was like, oh my God, how are you going to do it? And I was like, I have no idea. Follow along if you want to find out at the same time as me.
Love it. I love that.
It's amazing.
That's how to do life.
Yeah, for sure.
One of our friends actually sent us your profile, and he sent it to us because you're traveling with a dog also. Is that still true? Do you have your dog with you?
Well, yeah, I've got, well, we now have two dogs because I brought my dog, and then, yeah, I met Marie on the first week of the trip, and then she had a dog, and so now we've got two dogs, and yeah, and again, I still don't know how, don't ask me any technical questions of how we're pulling it off, because I don't quite know how we're getting the dog across the next border, nor do I know how we got it across the last border, but we keep going. We keep going east, so it's working.
I love it. So by the time you guys get to Asia, I'm gonna have a lot of questions because we've definitely like driving Asia is like our dream. Like that is like one day we want to drive it. So once you guys get through it, we'll learn from your example. But I won't ask any questions about it yet.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that though. Like you're crossing these borders, and you're not for the back of the. For the lack of better words, you're not like an experienced overlander, right? It doesn't sound like it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of going and then, so what's been your experiences like crossing borders of different countries, like of doing like of the whole learning curve? What's that been like for you?
So I'd say that the internet would scare 90% of people off. Because you can't take a dog into France, you know, which is the next country. You can't take a dog there. Oh, you're going to get eaten by strays. You can't do this. You can't do that. Can't do that. And I sort of took all that on board and thought, you know what? Let's just get on with it, you know. And yeah, the border thing was a learning process and was a bit of a shell shock at the start, wasn't it? It was, but not necessarily from our end being. The border staff at these sort of Eastern European countries are it's just chaos, isn't it? Yeah, it is mayhem. I can't even call it organized chaos. It's unorganized chaos where you turn up at these borders. They first of all think you're a terrorist because you've got this big angry truck. Then we're told we should be with the trucks. We go with the trucks. The truck staff then tell us we're meant to come with the cars. We get like, they have a shouting match who's right or wrong. Then we go through. We have to clear all our contents out, but then when we say we're driving to Australia, it all changes and it diffuses. Yeah, it's so much better.
Really?
It's really every border is slightly differently. You just need to accept it's going to be chaos. You don't really know what you're doing. Turn up there. You know you need to get stamped out of one like country and stamped back in the other. Hand over passports and car documents when you go there, and just go with it. You know, we turned up the first couple of borders we did. We were too late. We turned up at like 3 or 4 or 5 p.m. thinking, oh, I'll take like, you know, half an hour to go through, and it was taking hours. So now we basically set a day to do the borders and then to cross over, because now we have things like car insurance that is no longer valid for my truck. So now we have to buy like insurance there, a learning curve for us. There's all sorts of little bits and pieces, and there's also, you know, negotiating and, well, your car document says this, we can't do this. Well, come on, you can. Okay, fine, we'll let you off. So this
that's what we've heard. We've heard the borders can take all day. We've only crossed one internationally so far, besides Canada, and that was just Mexico. We just did that like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And actually, our last podcast episode was about, or two podcast episodes ago, was about us crossing the border, and it was pretty easy because Mexico's easy. But I'm hearing you say that it's going to take all day, and I'm like mentally preparing, like, okay, it's not going to be, every country's going to be Mexico.
not every country's going to be Mexico. So.
Can I ask you guys, maybe this is too personal, how did you guys meet? You said you guys met the first week of the trip, and now you guys are traveling together. So, Marie, how did that happen? I'm just curious.
Well, it was what I was doing, and then one evening I went for a run up the hill, and I saw him. We started talking, and now I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. You guys are both so free spirited. Let's go.
I love that.
I love that mentality.
I love it so much. It's just like, So, I mean, what are your friends? What are your family? Like, what are they saying about you right now? Like,
especially you, Marie, because you were in France and you just up and met this guy with a truck and hopped in the truck and now you're in Turkey. So, I mean, how did they take that?
Well, my family. I love to travel. I travel South America, backpacking. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I always want to travel more. And then I met him, and he's going to Australia, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm coming. And so yeah, I just gave up everything and then came with him. And now I'm traveling.
Yeah. So it happened on the first week of the trip. I was so tired because I don't have a home to go back to. I've sort of sold, handed over, done whatever. So this is like a one-way ticket really for me. So I was so tired on the first week that I went directly to the south of France, which is a couple of day drive, and found somewhere to park up and just chilled out for a couple of days. The first mountain I climbed for sunset, this girl popped out and I plucked up the courage to say, you know, do you speak English? And she did. And then she ran off because she wasn't interested. And I was like, oh, damn it. But she took the Instagram handle, sent me a message, and then the next day I managed to talk her into a beach date with the dogs, and we took the dogs for a walk, and it was all very nice. And it all went really well. And then 2 weeks later on, because I was still sort of doing a loop of the area, I sort of said, well, come for a weekend, which we did. Went well, and then 2 weeks after that, we met up in Genoa, and she had all her bags, and that was it, yeah. So,
goodness.
She was buying a flat as well, didn't you? Like, Marie was halfway through, like, a diploma.
What?
Like, and she was just going through the process of buying a flat and was like, you know what? Let's get back on the open road. And
wow.
That's amazing.
So I guess you both feel at home on the road, kind of. I know it's new to you both, like the overlanding thing, but you're just the kind of people who like the flexibility and just the going wherever. It sounds like you don't have much of a schedule. Is that sort of the appeal in it?
That is the best bit. Yeah, and we're talking about this because we have Australia to go to, but we could just drive every day, and we are on tarmac all the day. But it's not the destination, it's the journey for me and for us. Is we want to explore the world, we want to see the world, we want to immerse ourselves in the culture. What time limit do we have? No one's telling me to move from here. I've got nowhere to be. You know, and I like similar to ending up here in this island. It's like we're taking recommendations, we're speaking to locals, we're just going for it, you know. So, yeah, the only requirement we have is for the visas, but we've got 3 months visa here. the next country we've got 3 months. The Asian countries will have at least 30 days. Yeah, we'll just go and explore. So
that's amazing.
Well, I was actually going to go ahead. No, I'm pulled. I always do this every interview. I always like take over and just have 1,000 questions, especially when it comes to things like this. So just tell me if you want to hop in.
Well, I was going to ask. I mean, Ellie, I was specifically going to ask, like, how fast are you traveling?
That's where I was going, because that works well.
Yeah. So, like, are you when you get to a country, you're like, hey, you know what? We're just going to be here like 2 weeks, or does it matter? Does it you just kind of go with the flow, like, or yeah? So, like, what's that look like?
It's a completely natural process. So, for example, we turn up in Serbia. Yeah. We came from Romania. We were crossing, sort of, to Croatia, and we had the ability to stay there for 30 days, but we actually only stayed there 3 or 4 days because it was a bit flat, the weather wasn't so good, we only got a couple of recommendations. We went there, it was all right. People were smoking in the restaurants or wherever we went out for a thing, and it was like, okay, it's good, but, you know. And then we ended up going to Albania, where we were told, oh, we sort of predicted maybe 5 days come through Albania. We'll come roughly there. Someone said there, and then we'll exit. And we end up staying over 20 days there just because we went up in the mountains. It was beautiful. We went for a hike. We went on a mountain track because someone said to do that. It took 2 days. You know, it's like, it's a natural thing. You can't predict, and we don't want to predict, really. So
no, that's part of the fun. You know, we were just talking about this yesterday. If we're always struggling between like trying to have a schedule so we can plan our lives a little bit and like get the most out of it, but also we just like to kind of wing it, and sometimes that's good, yeah. Sometimes it's bad. So it's encouraging to hear we're not the only ones out there who are just kind of like flying by the seat of their pants half the time.
No, that's the best bit.
It is. I love that.
Yeah, have you rolled into a town or a place and you're like, no, I'm not feeling this place, and then go on? Or do you give it a couple of days? Or what's that look like?
Well, when you're rolling to a place and you physically don't fit, that's the first problem that we did.
Gotcha.
We've had like mountain places in Greek islands. People had to move cars out this little tiny road because we couldn't reverse. There was car, like we were waking the village up to try and move cars because we were stuck.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, we have all that.
Down in North Macedonia.
North Macedonia.
Wow.
Oh my god! Yeah. Yeah, there's all sorts of that.
I was just going to ask, how big is your truck exactly? Because we know what it looks like, but could you tell people how big it is and what it is?
Yeah, so it's basically an ex-military truck, is the best way to describe it, that's painted blue. So it's 7 or 8 meters long, so it's not the longest, but it's 2.5 meters wide and it's 4 meters high. And it's mainly, the height is the killer because it's on big, big wheels that are 4 foot high, to give us a load of ground clearance so we can climb mountains and ford rivers in it. So it weighs about 10 and a half tons. So it's big, but not
big.
It's not,
Well, I don't know. That's pretty big.
It's big, but not big. Yeah, it's all relative, my friend. Yeah.
You'll be thankful for the extra space. Give it a little longer. Having that extra space and all, that's... Mm.
Yeah.
Ours is pretty small. It's like, we love it, but it's it's smaller.
We have the same thing. We've got the same... We always think, maybe the next truck will be slightly bigger, or we'll get a newer truck, or, you know, and actually, it's just like, actually... This is perfect. You know, it's rough around the edges. We smash it up a little bit. Perfect. It still dries. It runs. All right. It's a bit small. Could be bigger. Just go with it. You know, I'm certainly learning to be happy with what we have.
So,
wow. It's really cool too. We've seen those. I feel like maybe we've talked about this on the podcast, but Europe has so many options for really awesome trucks. We don't get that very often. In fact, our truck is actually from Germany. We bought it from a Swiss couple, so we didn't like, they don't, what you have doesn't really exist over here. So we're always a little envious of the Europeans.
We get stopped every time at a gas station because people, like the car nerds, are like, where'd you get that from? And I'm like, we got it from some German couple, you know.
Driving in Mexico, like, you know, there's a lot of Europeans who drive the Pan American, and every time we see a European they stop and they like wave at us really big because they think we're European also. And we're not. We're like, sorry, American.
We disappoint them greatly. We're like, we're American. Sorry. Like,
keep our mouth shut.
That's amazing. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Well, there's my job. There's the plan. I'll come over and build truck builder out there. Yeah.
You would do great.
You would do great. Yeah, you would. So.
So on the flip side of what Chris just asked, you know, he always asks, like, what do you roll into places that you get to and you just don't feel? Like, I think he's asking this because we just rolled into a town here in Mexico that everybody was like, oh, you're going to love this town. You're going to want to spend weeks there. And truthfully, we rolled in, we gave it a few days, and we're like, we're just not feeling it, and we felt guilty.
Yeah, and it wasn't the locals that were saying it. It was all the, like, Americans back home. They're like, you're going to love this town. I'm like, no, I don't really like this town.
Yeah, we get loads of that. Was disappointing.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, do you ever roll into places and absolutely love it? Like, you were just completely blown away, like, you weren't expecting it. It sounds like maybe Albania was one of them, but what are some other places?
Yeah, I mean, we get loads of people that recommend, oh, this is amazing, this, that, the other, mm-hmm. but no one has your experiences or has our experiences, and no one has our wish list, and what might be good for somebody is not necessarily good for us. You know, a lot of people that are giving the recommendations are proper tourists that'll fly out, hire a car, stay in a nice hotel, and, oh, that's really nice. We go there in a truck, it's like awful because you can't park, it's a nightmare, there's too many tourist spots. So, like, we take everything with a pinch of salt and then, you know, take it on the chin. But we do turn up some places, and it's a bit dodgy, maybe, you know, especially some of the, like, we've been to the poorest country in Europe, which was Moldova, and, you know, we were just getting stared at all the time, which made it a little bit unnerving. But you know you get used to it. With a big smile on your face, you're fine. But there's been some amazing places. Albania, I'd say, is the first one that it stuck out for us, wasn't it? We were, like I say, 5 days turned into 20 odd days. I know, so cool. Because it was a bit wild, you know. We were told, oh, it's dangerous, watch out, there's a lot of gangsters there. My mum used to work with someone who ended up going down or getting put in jail for murder, and he was an Albanian. So she said, oh, watch out, the murderers are. And I was like, mum, this is exactly why we're doing the trip, to debunk all that, you know, rumours. Yeah. And Albania, I think, was the first big one, I'd say. Yeah. Greece was amazing. We could have spent like 2 or 3 months there. I don't know, there's so many, like, and there's so many little places you turn up as well that really I can't really describe on here. You know, where you turn up to some little cove on the end of a headland because you followed your nose, and then, like, sometimes we fly the drone, so if we don't know whether we fit or there's a spot, we'll get the drone, we'll fly it half a mile, work out whether we can park there. Smart. And then we go, and it's like, and then suddenly we've got this private little cove, no one around, and we're there for like 2 days in sun, spear fishing, and that's amazing. Yeah, it's glorious. So
y'all are living the real dream right now.
You are, man.
That's so cool. I'm so interested in y'all's route, though, because, I mean, as American passport holders, like, I think you guys are driving a route that technically we can't even get through right now. So you guys are about to see some places that are really hard for a lot of people to get to. What is your route going to look like? Have you guys planned that? I know it's pretty open-ended, but, like, what countries are you crossing through?
So we have the countries by countries, roughly. So the first big challenge we have is a bit of a funnel, because we go into Georgia next after Turkey, and then the Azerbaijan borders are shut. And Azerbaijan was like the gateway then across the Caspian Sea to the stand. So Kazakhstan was the first one. Mm-hmm. Because they're shut, we either have to freight the truck over, as in put the truck on another truck and get it taken across the border, which is ludicrous, but we might have to do that. The other option is to nip up through Russia, which we can do, we can't do. We're weighing that up at the moment. And then same again, we can go south and back up, which is through Iran. Again, we can do, we can't do. So we're in a bit of a funnel that we need to navigate over the next like 4 weeks. But then after that, we go through Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and then we come down through Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Nepal, back into India, Myanmar, and then we're into Southeast Asia then. So it's like Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, sort of down to Singapore, and then we're Indonesia down to Australia. There we go.
That's amazing. You were hitting up so many places that very few people ever get a visit. And I think that's our favorite thing about overlanding, is you get to see a place that, you know, most people fly into a country, they see like within an hour radius of the airport, and then they never go beyond that. But overlanding allows you to really go to some, I mean, you're getting to see all the stands. Like, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it like for the people following you back home, like your friends, is it eye opening for them to see? I mean, you haven't ventured there yet, but you have gone to
you
these
will
other.
Be soon,
yeah, you've
in the
gone.
Next month. Yeah.
You've started this journey, and you've proven that you're like, hey, I'm doing this journey. You know.
Yeah.
So has it been eye opening for them to like see you interact with, like the Albania example that you just gave? You know, is it starting conversations with people back home or people, you know, that friends and family or whatever like that?
Chris,
that
it's eye opening for me. Never mind my friends and family at home.
Yeah.
Like, we keep having these, like, we walked through the middle of Istanbul with the dogs like a couple of days ago. And I just stopped and turned to me. I was like, Marie, we're in Istanbul with the dogs. Oh my God, what are we doing here? Like, no, that's like, it's crazy. You know what I mean? And then like we were down in Croatia, and I was like, I've just driven to Croatia with the truck I built. Oh, mate, I was like, oh my God. You know, so we have these, like, every now and then, these, like, massive moments where it's like, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, we're in Turkey, come on. You know,
that's
so yeah,
amazing.
It's great. But what it's doing at home is it's like bringing family and friends together, really, because when they meet, it's like, oh my God, did you see Bobby Marie did blah, 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 blah. You know, oh my God, have you seen they've been in there? You know, so, you know, what one of them was so I wanted to be this like action figure, or turn into this action figure where I was able to, like, you know, build a camp and like hunt or fish for our food every night. And so the first step for that is fishing. So I got a fishing rod. I tried fishing. I hate fishing. It's so boring. I hate it. Like, gave up, snapped the rods. This is just ridiculous. But then I was like, what a bit more like action man is spear fishing. So I bought a spear fishing gun and spear fish, and first one we caught was about this big, but it got bigger. And then we had we're in Albania, I think, and we caught the eel. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Albania.
Yeah. We started in Montenegro, and in Albania, I caught an eel, like a proper. I'm talking like, you know. Excuse me. It's like,
did you do that on purpose, or were you aiming at another fish?
No, I was like to go for this eel because, yeah. So we got that, and then the story sort of goes is I got that, and but while we were trying to like cut it and prepare and stuff, it was still like worming. Even though I'd fully gutted it, it was like doing all this in the pan, and I can remember all my friends and family ringing, messing me like, "No way, you can't eat that!" Oh, what the hell? And I was like, "Well, we've caught it. We're going to eat it." So.
We gotta eat it.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good.
It was really good. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Marie, I didn't finish half of mine. And she was like, give it to me. And was like, gnawing off the bone. Like,
oh my God. People pay good money for that in parts of the world.
They do. So. They do.
Yeah, dude. I didn't even know what eel it is. In fact, every time I shoot a fish, I say to like the social media, I'm like, da da, I've caught this. What is it? And they're always like, oh, that's a blah, blah, blah. And this eel, they were like, oh, it's a Mediterranean Maran. They're really like precious in certain countries. I was like, well, it looks weird to me, but we're going to eat it.
Y'all eat it. I'll try it.
did you grow up catching fish? Like, did you know how to clean them and all that? Or are you learning on the road?
Learning everything on the road. From, you know, I didn't
really?
Have a truck license. I didn't have a truck license before. Within about a week of buying the truck, I didn't have a truck license. I just had to go and get a truck license, and I managed to get it just before I bought the drug. Wow. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff we're just learning on the fly. So yeah,
that's amazing. Wow. I want to ship this truck over to Turkey right now with them.
Oh, I know. That was Asia was our original goal. We were trying to do Asia, and it's so many hoops to jump through to actually ship over there versus driving. So one day we dream of it, but y'all are doing the route that, like, I hope in a few years we can do.
Yeah, we want to do that route.
We'll
a lot.
We want to see everywhere eventually. But
we hope to, like, sort of open it up a little bit, because, you know, what I was hoping is we sort of demonstrate on quite a large scale through social media that this is possible. And I'm not an expert overlander. You know, I don't wear glasses, and, you know, I'm a real nerd with all this stuff. I'm just a regular guy, just having a bit of fun, going for it. And if I can do it, you know, 90% of the people can do it as well. So I'm hoping we can demonstrate it and then answer a lot of questions, put some information together that allows this route to be opened up a little bit more, because historically it was a bit of a route. You know, it was called the hippie route at one point in the 60s, 70s from the UK. People used to drive from the UK down to India as part of the hippie trail. And people used to do it in big yellow buses and stuff like that. And that was quite a popular route. And then the Land Rover fraternity joined in, and they used to go from from England to Singapore, London to Singapore. So it has been done historically, but we're in a bit of an unsettled time globally at the moment. So there's not as many routes available, really. So
right. Yeah.
But let's go and make sure we can do it, and then shout about it, really.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
That is really cool. So when you finally hit Australia and you get down there, I know you kind of hinted at it, but, and I know it's not truly about the destination, but there is a point where you're going to get to Australia and you're going to be like, well, shoot, I'm here. Like, you know, yeah. At what?
Do you turn around and go home?
Yeah. Do you turn around and go home? Or you're like, you know what? Like, Fiji's not too far. Like, or ship wherever. Like, so what do you think that'll look like?
Give me a call in a year and a half time, Chris, and I'll answer the question.
good answer.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. You know, we're toying with a few ideas. You know, we're toying with the idea of shipping it to South America and doing the Pan Am, potentially. Yeah. Maybe South Africa and doing South Africa. Maybe we've had enough. Maybe say, yeah, you know what? Let's end on a high. Let's sell it. We've thought about sailing back. We've thought about driving back. Who knows? And frankly, at the moment, who cares? You know, world's our oyster. Let's not overthink it. Let's not overplan it, because you spoil the moment which you're in if you're thinking too far ahead about what's next. You know, for us, I keep thinking, oh, what about a house? What about this? What about marriage? What about kids? What about this? And it's like, hold on a minute. Let's enjoy now. You know, let's not be reckless. You don't forfeit tomorrow. But actually, let's enjoy the present. See where tomorrow brings. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
All
right. Love that.
One thing you kind of have touched on is it's something that Chris and I are pretty passionate about. Like, the gear does not make the overlanding adventure. I feel like that point of entry is so high. Like, there's like this expectation that you have to have like all this crazy expensive gear to make overlanding possible. And it does take some preparation to make sure that you have, you know, water purification if you're going somewhere that doesn't have clean water. And like, there is some level of preparation, but the gear does not make it. Like, you can enter with a pretty low level of stuff, but what is something you guys brought along? Is there like a few things that you made sure the truck had? Like, how did you prepare for where you're going?
Yeah, to overland or even to do a big travel, you really don't need anything bar a can-do attitude, really. We met a couple of cyclists who are cycling from Switzerland to Singapore, and we bumped into them and went for a meal in Istanbul. Really cool, a Swiss and Austrian guy, and they are bike packing, as in on a bike with their kit, with just like a tent. I mean, that's hardcore. I love to sit here and say I'm, you know, John Wayne, and I'm nothing compared to those guys. Like, I am high maintenance, you know. Yeah. I've got air conditioning and a comfy bed, you know. Yeah, guys are next level. I think to overland, giving someone advice to get into overlanding or whatever, you don't need a big truck or a big rig, because you don't need that. And depending on what you're doing, I keep giving advice to people to say, you don't get a truck, get a van, because a truck is overkill. We only use it because our travel is indefinite. We don't know when we're going to stop. It's an all year round thing. If I was only doing like summer trips, this would be overkill and just a nightmare. So you don't need a big truck, really. You don't, because if it's warm outside, you spend 99% of the time outside anyway. Like, from now on, we'll only sleep in here, make a cup of coffee, and that's it. Everything else will be outside. You don't need a big truck. For me, though, four-wheel drive has made the difference on the trip. I'd say it's probably made 30% difference, you say? You know, even just this spot. In two-wheel drive, you won't come here. Just specifically where we are now. And this is 50% better than the next spot, half a mile away, sort of thing. So four-wheel drive is a pretty good. Everyone's particular requirements, you know. I've enjoyed this big truck because I've got all my toys with me. So I've got a surfboard on the roof, I've got paddle boards, a bike on the back, skis, so we go ski touring all the time and stuff. So I like to have all that, and I'll sacrifice other things to allow us to do activities on the way. But I think the one key thing you've got to have in a van or a truck or whatever you're doing overland in it, a good bed, a comfy bed. I've built probably three vans, or, you know, little things over my years now, like tiny little things. And the worst has been where I've not had a comfy bed because you spoil, you go for away for a weekend, you go away for a week, and you just want to get back home or have a hotel or something like that because your bed's knackered. If you've got a comfy bed, and we've got a big king size bed here,
wow,
that's it. You know, that's the answer. You know, a fridge, you can do with a little portable fridge. A toilet, you can use outside. Water, you only need a little bit. Cooking, you can use a gas stove. So everything else you can compromise. But for me, a good bed, a good night's sleep keeps you positive. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
There you go. You just need four-wheel drive and a big bed. There you go.
Four-wheel drive and a big bed.
Yeah.
We have the four-wheel drive. We do not have a big
bed.
Ours is like actually just a little smaller than a full-size bed. I mean,
it's the Europeans, man. This thing was built for the small Germans, you know? It's just like...
I don't know. The guys who owned it before our last owners, they were Dutch, and they were over 6 feet tall. And we look at him, we're like, I don't know how you were sleeping in that
thing. Yeah, we've seen photos of him, and I'm like, I don't know how he did it. Like, that's amazing.
We love it. A little jealous of the AC, though. That was one thing we were trying to get in here because we know we'll be going to some pretty hot climates, but it just did not work. So, a little jealous of that one, but we will survive.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right in being, you spend the majority of your time outside, you know, and then when you come back, it's already like sunset. It's starting to cool off. It's pretty nice and moderate. There's typically a breeze happening or whatever. It's not that bad.
It's not about the rig.
No, it's, so it's pretty nice. So,
And the thing is with the rig and speccing it is, if you've come from loads of money and you've driven a Ferrari and you've had a really nice car and apartment and stuff like that, yeah, okay, your expectations are pretty high, you know, but where I was in my life, I didn't have a load of money because I was so committed on this little business I'd built. I'd left my house because I was living in a little caravan with no running water, no nothing. It was a bit moldy. So this is like a palace to me, you know. So it's great. So you just need to set your expectations correctly, you know, and just be grateful for it when you hit the road. You know, if you go with the wrong mindset overlanding, you don't have a proper toilet. Oh, this is terrible. We didn't do laundry for 30 days, you know, as of like a couple of days, 30 days. To other people, that would have been disastrous and it would have put so much pressure on a relationship. But what's it matter? You know, as long as you've got the right attitude for this kind of lifestyle, it doesn't matter. You know, and I've said this about the truck. If we crash and burn the truck tomorrow, it doesn't matter to me because I walk down the road, go and find an old beat up truck, spend a couple of weeks converting it, put a big bed in it, make sure it's got four-wheel drive, and then I'll carry on. You know, so like that's what it's about, you know.
It's
I can learn from mindset. You.
Yeah. I love
you're
your
a little
mindset.
More flexible than me, I think. I love it. I love the mindset. I can learn from that.
I love that mindset a lot. Like it's so nice because you know it's funny here in the States. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called like Overland Expo, and like it's this big conference for overlanders to go to, and they have multiple things, and it's great. You learn a lot, but it. Like you fall into like two different camps when you're there. You have the people who are like about the travel and about the sort of the experience. And then you have the other people who are about the rig and about the gear and all that. But they never travel in it. Their big travel trip is to Overland Expo. A lot of times, like they're going up to hang out with other overlanders and then, and back. And so,
but that's their hobby.
It's their
just
hobby.
Not,
yeah. But it's refreshing to hear somebody say that about, like your experience, you know, that it's not necessarily about the gear per se. It's about the experience and about having these amazing, like, I feel like you're going to be the annoying guy when you go home that you have all these stories. Oh yeah. This one time I was in Albania, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, shut up. Like, you know,
Well, where is home? That's the thing. You know, people keep saying, oh, when you get home, it's like, well, I am home. This is home sort of thing. So, you know, do I want to, and that, this is the question we keep getting asked is like, oh, where are you going to go back to? It's like, well, we don't know. We've not actually figured it out because every country we go to is like, okay, could we see ourselves here in the future? It's like, okay, keep going. Next question. Next country.
Yeah.
Do we, you know, so I don't know. This might be a longer term thing than what perhaps we thought it might be, but who knows? We'll see.
I can already tell you it will be. We set out 6 years ago saying we were going to live in a van for a year to see North America, and here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
6 years later.
In Mexico. Yeah.
It'll take a while.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like you'll get a place. Well, you've got a big truck, so it's not like being in a van. Like we'll get like an Airbnb or, you know, like a home or something. We're like, wow, this is nice. And for about a week, And then we're like, all right, I'm kind of itching to go somewhere. Yeah, you know?
It doesn't take me a week. It takes me like 2 nights after like 2 good night's sleeps and a real size bed. And I'm ready. I'm like, let's go. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So that's what that's the first modification you need to make is a big proper bed in your little camper truck thing that you got. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still sleep well. I really do.
Sarah and the dog sleeps so well. Me, you know, it's not about me though. It's just not about me. I'm okay. I'll sacrifice.
As long as she's happy, that's it. That's what I make sure.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as she's happy, I'm happy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there any specific place that you're really looking?
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you? So, is there any specific place that you're really looking forward to in the upcoming weeks that you're gonna be? Or, yeah. What's that look like for you?
Well, from now on,
everywhere. I don't know anywhere. Like, it's all new for me. So yeah, I'm looking forward for every country. It's gonna be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I guess the answer, the philosophical answer, would be I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, and then tomorrow, and then tomorrow, and then tomorrow, because it's like it's so new. Yeah. There's no plan. We discussed on the beach what we're gonna do. We're gonna stay here tomorrow. We're gonna drive on. It's like let's work it out tomorrow, sort of thing. You know.
Love it.
There's cool countries coming up. You know, for me, Georgia is actually a really cool up and coming diverse country with massive mountains, pretty nice cities, rich culture, rich history. Yeah, it's really nice. But then again, I can't wait to go somewhere like Pakistan and be on the like the northern border with the sort of Himalayas at the top there and go through the big 6,000-7,000 meter mountains, potentially in the snow by that time of year we get there, and meet some people that, you know, don't have internet, don't have this, not the other. And that's what I'm really looking forward to, is that kind of rural experience. Traveling, so I don't know. But yeah, every day it's all exciting. It's all amazing. It's all exciting. Isn't life beautiful?
And did you say that everything from now on is new to you? Have y'all ever done Asia or any of the parts that you're heading to?
Nope. Yeah.
Wow.
Furthest I think I've ever traveled is about 2 hours down the coastline here when I was about 16. Just for like I flew in, and then I was with my mum for a week in a resort, and I flew out, and that's about as far east as I've been. So I've never done.
Okay.
Asia, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, Australia. It's all new. It's all new.
Amazing. You're going to enjoy it. That's amazing. Yeah,
we're very jealous. So if people want to follow along your journey, like all of that, where can people find you?
Yeah, so the best place to find us is on Instagram, and it's under One Life Truck It. And the name came from, there's a saying in the Land Rover world, which is One Life Live It. But I sort of swindle around, so it's One Life Truck It with dots in between. So One Life Truck It. But I'd just like to also give a bit of a shout out to EasySim, who provided the data. So we're not on Wi-Fi, we've not got Starlink, we're literally using phone data through an eSIM and their EasySim.
Wow.
So thank you, those guys, keeping us. Yeah, it's crazy. And they're able to keep us top, my phone, with data all the way to Australia.
Oh my gosh.
Impossible.
That's amazing. Yeah. I was actually going to ask you how you guys were doing that on some remote island in Turkey right now. I assumed
amazing.
You had Starlink, but that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Blown my mind. So thank you.
Wow. We'll link everything down below so everybody can find you guys and follow along. And we're excited to keep following along. We've followed for a while now and can't wait to see how Georgia is next. That's one place I'd love to visit. So.
I'm excited. Yeah. Every day is that, you know, I tried to go swimming with wild dolphins this morning, so I'm just about to post a reel about that.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, like every day there's something crazy going on. So yeah, follow on because it's wild. Yeah, it's cool.
That's amazing.
So cool, you guys.
But yeah, Bobby, Marie, thank you so much for being here.
This was so great to finally talk to you guys. Safe travels, and I hope we cross on the road one day soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll see you over in the States.
Sounds good.
Cheers, guys. Great to meet you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.